the fact that, you know, salvation, redemption was God's idea. Praise God. He loved us so much that He gave us Jesus, forever demonstrating and proving to mankind that He's good and loves us. You know, a lot of people were like me growing up. You know, I was a mess as a teenager and in my early 20s, you know, mixed up in substance abuse and, you know, depressed and just different things along those lines. And, you know, I stayed away from God because I didn't know who God was. But once I found out that He's full of love and mercy and wants to help me, man, I ran towards Him. Praise God. Best decision I ever made. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open to John chapter 10 and verse 10. If you don't, we do have the Bible up on the screen for you. God's good. How many of you know we're in the right place at the right time? He's going to speak to us tonight. And every time we gather together is an opportunity to be changed, to hear from heaven. You know, it's important that we don't just look at this is what we do on a Wednesday night. This is repetitive. Let's just go through the motions. No, God's going to speak to you tonight. He's going to say something to you that's pertinent to your life. And you're going to wonder, how did that guy up there know to say that? Well, I didn't, but God did. Amen? And it'll be a demonstration unto you that God is real. It'll be a demonstration unto you that He loves you, has a better tomorrow for you, but also that this is a place where you can come and hear from heaven. Amen? What an honor and opportunity we have tonight. So let's pray before we get into the Word and make sure we say what He wants us said. Father, we're just so grateful, so thankful for all that You've done, all that You've given. You are such a loving, merciful, kind God. We're just so thankful for all that You have provided for us through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Your Son, Jesus. And Father, we can't say thank You enough. And Lord, not only did You provide us a path to heaven, a free path to heaven, Father, You offered it to everybody, not just churchgoers, not just people that are generous to charity, not just people whose good deeds outweigh their bad, but Father, You offer heaven to the world, and we thank You so much for that, Father. But Lord, not only did You offer us eternity, You gave us a GPS here on the earth, Lord, that will direct us and guide us to all the wonderful things that You have for us, things like healing, things like prosperity, things like peace of mind, freedom from fear, depression, anxiety, and stress, freedom from bondages. Father, You gave us a path to victory through Your Word. And so we thank You for our spiritual GPS, our spiritual roadmap tonight, the Word of God. Help me to minister Your Word. It's such an honor. And Father, I pray that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost, that You would speak through me, Father, and that You would, just like the psalmist of old said, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. And Lord, as You hit bullseyes in people's hearts, we'll make sure that You get the praise. We'll make sure that You get the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm already stirred up. Hopefully, I've stirred you up. Praise God. John chapter 10 and verse 10. John chapter 10 and verse 10. Don't forget, Sunday morning will be our second part of the faith series. If you weren't here Sunday, if you were, you need to get online and listen to that first one over and over and over again. Praise God. We're going to good places here. And important, the word has to be big in our life. But John chapter 10 and verse 10 says this: "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come," this is Jesus talking, "that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." I love right off the bat that God distinguishes Himself from the thief. He says, don't mix me up with the thief. Anytime there's stealing, killing, and destroying going on, just understand that's the work of the thief, not the work of your God. Amen? And Jesus says right off the bat, I need you to know this. I'm only good. Praise God. But He said, I've come. He said, I've come. So He said, I've come too. He said, there's a purpose and a reason that I came. He said, I came to give you, or that you would have life, but not only just have life, that you would have life, that word life that He's talking about, in abundance. He said, I don't want you just to have life. I want you to have life in abundance. Now you might think, what's He talking about? He came to give us a pulse. He came to give us a heartbeat. No, that's not what He's talking about. The New Testament was not written in English. It was written in Greek. And that word life that He said, I've come to give you life, that's the Greek word zoe or Z-O-E. That literally means the life of God. Or you could say it this way, life like God enjoys it. Amen? You know, what God is enjoying in heaven, Jesus said, I've come to give that to you down here. That's like what He told the children of Israel. He said, you'll have days of heaven on the earth. Just like Jesus prayed, he said, Thy will be done, Father, on the earth, just as it is in heaven. What Jesus is saying is, I want to see what's going on up here. I want to see it taking place down here. Praise God. Well, he said, I've come to give you that life, the Zoe, the God kind of life, or the life like God enjoys it. I've come to not only give it to you, but I want you to have it in abundance. Praise God. Would you pull that up in the Amplified up there, please, in the Amplified Bible? It says in John chapter 10 and verse 5, I'm going to read that until that comes up there. It says, the thief comes in only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, I came that they may have. Now notice this. This will make religion downright mad. He said, Jesus said, I came that you would have and enjoy life. God is interested in you actually not just scraping by down here, not just living in misery, but actually God is interested in you enjoying your life. Praise God. And that he, and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Praise God. You can go back to the King James, please. But God is saying that life of God, that Zoe existence, that what's taking place in heaven, I want you to have that here on the earth, but I want you to have it in abundance. I want it to overflow in your life. I want it to take it. I want it to take you over. Praise God. I want you to be knocked over by, you know, you stand on the, you see some sometimes those humongous waves that those surfers do out, some, who knows where they're doing it, Hawaii, whatever, and they're huge. You know, if you stand there and just stand there, that thing will take you over and crash right into you and knock you over. That's what God says. I want to knock you over with a wave of abundance. I want it to overflow. I want it to overtake your life. Praise the name of God. He says, I want you to enjoy it more abundantly. Real quick, Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. Romans 5 and verse 17. It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by the one, talking about Adam when he missed it, death entered into the world, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, now notice this, shall reign. Well, when I hear the word reign, I think of a king. Yeah. Don't you? Yeah. A kingdom and they reign. Well, when I think about reigning and thinking about kings, would you say kings have it pretty good or kings have it pretty bad in the natural? Kings have it pretty good, don't they? Hallelujah. They got full provision. They got full supply. They got full protection, right? Whatever they need, it's at their disposal. Praise God. Well, the Bible says through Jesus, we shall reign in the sweet by and by when we get to heaven. No, God's will through Jesus. He said, I've come to give you. That's called Zoe life, by the way, living like a king. He said, I've come that you would reign as kings in where? Life. Praise God, by one, Jesus Christ. That sounds like heaven on earth. That's God's will. That's God's flow for your life. Abundance, praise God. God is the one. You don't ever have to feel bad anymore about overflow, increase, promotion, and favor, and blessing and overflow, because that's God's idea. That's God's plan, praise God. Don't let religion, don't let people, and don't let the devil tell you any different. We only take what God says. Praise the Lord. But here's the thing. If we're going to experience the abundant life, the Zoe, God kind of life, the kind of life that God enjoys, heaven on earth, if we're going to experience that, which is going to cause us to have to reach for that and to go for that, we are going to have to know what that looks like. Because if you don't know what God's enjoying, you might think, hey, I've reached a place of blessing. That's all that I ever am going to shoot for or go for. And God's level is way above your level because he's enjoying the fullness of abundant life. So we need to find out what his perspective, because he said, I've come to give you life like I enjoy it. Not life like the Americans enjoy it, or the Australians enjoy it, or so-and-so living over on this street. I've come to give you life like I, God, in heaven, enjoy it. Praise God. So we need to know. We need to look at that. Hallelujah. Because if you don't have the right perspective on prosperity, you might shoot for something far lower than what God has offered you. I have a friend. We grew up together, you know, and he got into a new home, and I remember the first truck he had. You know, it was first truck I had was a 1990 Nissan pickup with over 200,000 miles and rust holes all in it. You know, I loved that truck. We called it the battle buggy because it went through a lot of battles. You know, and anyways, he got a truck, and it was I don't remember, it was something like maybe a 2004 Ford that had 110,000 miles on it. But I mean, to him and I, it was like, at the time, you know, like, my God, that's awesome. You know, you're talking, I mean, that, and it was awesome, still is awesome to me. But the point was, when he got that, it was like, wow. And then him and his family moved into a new home, and wasn't a mansion or anything like that, but it was on a little bit of land, and a bigger home than he's ever had, you know, met the needs of his family and able to enjoy it living out in the country, you know, and we just rejoicing. And then a friend came in from a different state who kind of grew up in a different, I guess you'd say, economic class than we did, you know. And he had been corresponding with him that, hey, I got a new truck, you know, because to him, 110,000 mile, 2004, that's a new truck compared to what we've been driving. I mean, you'd have given me that with that Nissan, I'd have thought, my God, I just hit the lottery. Amen. And it's just the truth. And so he got the truck, and he's talking about this. He's telling him about this new home he got, you know, this person just that came in from out of town just speaks their mind. And picked him up in the truck, and he's looking around in the truck, and he's like, new truck. And then he pulls into the house, and he literally said these words. Now again, you know, probably should have kept this to himself, but I'm getting to a point here. He pulled in the house, and he said, this is what you call prosperity? That's what he said to him. I mean, that's pretty brash, but to say that, this is what you call prosperity. But to my friend, absolutely that's what you call prosperity. But see, to the other person, that wasn't prosperity because they've experienced a whole different level of prosperity. Now, again, that person needs to be taught some tact and under things like that. But my point is, if you have a wrong view of what abundance is, you'll shoot for what you think abundance is when we can shoot for what God says we can have, which is what He's enjoying. Amen? You know, it's kind of like this. If you came over to my house, if I said, you know, I'm going to have you over for dinner tonight, and you come over, you offered your services to come help and say, I'd like to help you get it ready, Pastor. I said, okay, come on over. I say, go ahead and get the stuff out of the fridge, and you open my fridge. And all that's in my fridge is raspberry jelly. I say the other part of it is in the cupboard. You go open the cupboard and all you see is bread and peanut butter. Now, thank God for peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. But if you thought that was all that Pastor Mike was eating, you would think, what's going on? Is the church not paying him? Right? That's what you'd think. But think about this now. You take somebody from a third world country who's starving, and you bring them over to my house, and all there is peanut butter and jelly, and they can have as much peanut butter and jelly as they want, sandwiches. That's prosperity to them. Why? Their mindset's on a different level than what your mindset would be coming to my house thinking I'm going to feed you dinner and not just peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So that's why it's important that we look from heaven's perspective, because he said, I'm offering you abundance from my level. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Go to Romans 12 and verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 2. Abundance. Hallelujah. Amen. Abundance. My friend said this. He said, and he's a Christian. He said, when that guy said that, I wanted to punch him right between the eyes. Oh, I wanted to just knock him out. Thank God he didn't. Hallelujah. Romans 12 and verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed or changed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Well, what is that perfect will of God? The perfect will of God is abundance. The perfect will of God for your life is John 10 and verse 10, Romans 5 and verse 17. Abundance. Abundance in what? Every area. In your relationships, in your job, in your wardrobe, in your vehicles, in your home, in your cupboard, right? In your finances, your checkbook, in your kids. Abundance. overflowing every area. Praise God. He said the way you're going to transform or be changed into that, hallelujah, is by renewing your mind. Go to 3 John verse 2. 3 John verse 2. We're just kind of laying some groundwork here, showing you what, I'll make this statement after I read this verse. It says in 3 John 2, he says, beloved, we love this verse around here. He says, because this verse really just kicks religion in the nose, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Because God's saying through John, he says, beloved, I wish above all things. That's quite a hefty statement. Above all things, number one on the list, I wish above all things that you would prosper. Now, if you look that word up in the Greek, it's talking about to have a prosperous journey. Well, think about that, because when we hear prosper, we think, well, that just must mean financially. Well, you can be prospering financially and not be prospering in life. A lot of Hollywood is prospering financially, but they're a mess in their head. They're mixed up on things. You hear different stories. Well, they got all the money in the world. Well, I'd rather have all the money in the world and a sound mind, and not lose my soul, and not lose my family, and all this stuff. And so, he's not just talking about wanting you to prosper in your checkbook and in your wallet. He's saying to have a prosperous journey. Well, if you're on a prosperous journey in life, it's not considered prosperity if you can't pay your bills. It's not considered prosperity if you're sick in your body. It's not considered prosperity if you're dealing with depression and anxiety and fear, or you're mixed up and controlled by substances and bondage. That's not prosperity. So when he says, I wish above all things that you would prosper, he's not just talking about money. He's talking about all areas of your life. But notice this, he said, even as your soul prospers. What's he saying? That the prosperity in your natural life is going to depend on what's going on between your ears. And that's what he said in Romans 12. He said to be transformed into the perfect will of God by the renewing of your mind. He says, as your soul prospers, and we know that word soul is not talking about the spirit, because the Bible says we're spirit, soul, and body. They're separate. That soul is the mind of a person, the thoughts of a person, the intellect of a person. He says, as your mind will prosper, just like Romans 12, 2 says, as your mind prospers, you'll be transformed or changed into what God's will was, which will always be prosperity. Amen. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to walk in the Zoe, God kind of life, the heaven on earth kind of life, the abundant overflow type of life, you're going to have to do something with what's between your ears, because it always starts. Prosperity does not start at a job. Prosperity does not start with a checkbook. Prosperity does not start with an investment or an inheritance. Prosperity starts between the ears. And if you're thinking wrong about money and abundance and prosperity, you will not experience it. And so we got to think like him. You know, when I came into a Bible teaching church, it was BCF years ago, and Pastor Michael was, the name of the family church was BCF, Bible Christian Fellowship. I had no idea that God cared about me prospering. I had no idea that God cared about me living in abundance. But my God, I found out about it. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, it's good. It's good to know. Hallelujah. So a lot of people have no idea. They've been brought up in circumstances. You know, a lot of people, their faith is resting off of what their past has been like. Yeah. They don't think they could ever walk in abundance because they never have walked in abundance. Right. Well, I've never done it, so I'm never going to. You know, grandma was poor, great-grandma was poor, mommy and daddy were poor, and I grew up that way. And so that's just going to have to be the flow of my life. Well, that's where your faith is at, and you got to get your mind renewed out of that poverty thinking. Amen. Out of that lack mentality. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lack is not the flow of God. I love what David said. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That word want in the Hebrew is the word lack. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, therefore, because of that, the corresponding action or reaction or the consequence to the Lord being my shepherd is I won't lack. He knew. He said, because God is my shepherd, I know he's a good shepherd, he's a provisional shepherd, and he's living the abundant life. So because he's that way, I'm not going to struggle.
That's good. Amen.
But you got to get your mind renewed to it. So how do we do that? We'll go to James chapter 1. Again, just laying quick groundwork here, and we'll get flying here. James chapter 1. Abundance. I don't know if you know this or not, but what God's going to call us to do in these end times, he's going to need people to have a full supply. Don't you want a full supply for your own family? I do. Don't you want to have a full supply to be a funder for the kingdom? My God, if you don't, you got your priorities wrong. James chapter 1 and verse 21 says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness, verse 21, and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Well, he said, if your mind prospers, or if your mind is transformed or renewed, you'll get into the perfect will of God, which is abundance of prosperity. He said in 3 John 2, as your mind prospers, your finances, your body, your life, your family, your job, anything you put your hand to will prosper. Well, here he says, how then do we get our mind to prosper? By the word. Amen. By washing your mind of all the stinking thinking, all the poverty thinking, the lack mentality, the I can't have enough mentality. Washing it with that, receiving meekness, the engrafted word, which the word tells you, abundant life, reign in life, thou shalt not lack, praise God. Washing your mind of all that wrong thinking with the word, receiving the word, changing your thoughts from I can't have it, I'll never have enough, I'd just be happy just skimping by, to what the Bible actually says, which is God wants you to overflow in his abundant life. That's how it's done. That's how it's done. Go to Luke 4 and verse 18. We like the Bible around here. Hallelujah. We just let the Bible do the talking. Praise God. Luke 4 and verse 18. I have the easiest job on planet Earth. I'm a professional plagiarizer. I just plagiarize the Bible. I remember one time, the first time I was ever going to preach, I was so nervous at the Methodist church I grew up in. And I remember the Spirit of God saying this to me as I was praying, hide behind the word. Just hide behind the word. Just preach the word, let the word do the talking. That's been my motto ever since. Just get up here and just speak the word and hide behind the word. Luke 4 and verse 18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now let's take this backwards real quick, because we just talked about how are we going to get our mind to prosper, because you won't prosper in your wallet, you won't prosper in your job, you won't prosper in your body, you won't prosper in your family until your mind gets fixed. He said, well, the word will fix your mind. Now look at this. Let's look at from the back going up. He says, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now think about that. Them that are bruised are a category of people, aren't they? Well, he said, I've come to set at liberty them that are bruised, to take them from bruised to liberty. What's better, bruised or liberty? Liberty. So he says, I want to take the hurting that are bruised and change them into liberty. Well, then he says the recovering of sight to the blind, basically what he's saying, from sick to well. What's better, being sick or being well? Being well. So he says, I've come to take a group of people that are sick and change them into better. Praise God. He said to preach deliverance to the captives. There again, group of people captive and then being delivered. What's better, a change from being captive to delivered? Hallelujah. That's why he said to heal the brokenhearted. Again, a group of people, brokenhearted. Jesus said, I've come to change it from bad to good, from brokenhearted to healing. Praise the Lord. Now look at this. Preach the gospel to the poor. Here's a group of people, the poor. Now, let's not be religious. Is poor fun? I've been poor, I've been not poor, and not poor is way more fun. Don't look at me that way. It is. Hallelujah. And if you're poor and don't know it, I'm trying to teach you how to get out of poor. It's way more fun over on this side. Way more fun. So anyways, he said a group of people, it's the poor. Now, every other category of people in that, the bruised, the sick, the captives, and the brokenhearted, all because of Jesus, were able to be changed from that bad position into something good. We've all admitted that the poor is not a good position to be in. Do you think that Jesus would only be interested in the captives, only be interested in the brokenhearted, only be interested in the sick, only be interested in the bruised, and then leave the poor off in their own bad category? No. Absolutely not. So what does he say is the fix or the remedy for the poor? Preach the gospel. He's saying the word is the answer to poverty. The word is the answer to poverty. Now again, not just the word itself. Poor people walk by this book every day at Walmart. They walk by it poor. They walk and they keep walking out of the store poor. Doesn't matter that it's in here. You got to get it in to renew your mind and in your heart. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And so the answer and making sure that we're going to walk in this abundant life is seeing things from God's perspective, but renewing our mind to actually what abundance is, and that abundance is available to us. Because until we renew our mind to it, we won't prosper and see it naturally because we won't go for it. If we have our own thinking, just like you come over to my house, you think one way, and then you bring someone from a third world country that's starving, you bring more, they're going to think peanut butter and jelly is prosperity. They're going to think, my God, I've never, even you could turn your faucet on and get water anytime, and that's prosperity to them. When us, that, we don't consider that prosperity. We're thankful for that, but we don't consider that, you don't consider unlimited peanut butter and jelly sandwiches prosperity if you come over to my house for dinner. You're probably going to leave disappointed. Right? Yeah. Amen. Caleb wouldn't. Eats that every single day. I don't get it. He does every single day. Anyways, hallelujah. So we see there. So let's take a look now in the time we have left at God's perspective of abundance and God's perspective of prosperity. And your job is to get your mind renewed to what the word says. Go to Psalm 91 and verse 16. Psalm 91 and verse 16. As I was preaching out, Caleb was thinking, I don't see the problem, Dad. That sounds like heaven on earth right there. I mean, what's the deal? Psalm 91 and verse 16. Look at what God says. Again, we're taking it from his perspective, renewing our mind to abundance, because we need to prosper in our minds before it's going to show up in our life. Psalm 91 and verse 16, he says, with long life. So he says, for the duration of a long life, right? Not just, well, you know, the odd years I want you to be blessed, the even years will have you struggle. No, long life. For the duration of long life, he said, I will satisfy him. Satisfy means to be filled to the full. Yeah. Amen. Now, don't tell me that if you go to Thanksgiving dinner and you're waiting all day and you're smelling that turkey and that stuffing and that the mashed potatoes, whatever you like to eat, and the gravy and the sweet potatoes, whatever it is that you fancy, and you go out to the table and you grab your plate and you get your little hands and you put one little piece of turkey on there and you just one little scoop of potatoes on there and just a little drop of gravy on there and you go eat it, and then after you say, oh, I'm so satisfied. You're not. Right. You wouldn't be satisfied. But that's what people are doing in life. A little bit of finances, just a little bit of blessing, Lord. Lord, it would just be nice just to pay my bills. No. God wants you satisfied. What does satisfied mean? Are you ready to really make religion, man? Satisfied, listen, we're thankful for the vehicles that get us from point A to point B. But I'll tell you what, I'm way more satisfied in a vehicle that gets me from point A to point B that's not filled with rust, that the air conditioning actually works, that the windows actually go down, the heat works all the time, the tires are actually safe and legal, and there's not rust all over it. Way more satisfied. Amen. Way more satisfied. You know, there's seasons where we understand that there's seasons in life, and there's times that the season will look like lack, and you got to use your faith. We understand that, but seasons change. You know, there's seasons where maybe ramen noodles are what you got to eat. Been there, where peanut butter and jelly and we understand that, and macaroni and cheese, right? There's seasons of that. But I'll tell you what, I'm way more satisfied knowing I could eat ramen noodles whenever I want rather than I have to go home and eat those things. Yeah. Way more satisfied. And that's what God is saying. I want you not to just get by in life. I don't want you just to, you know, have to settle for clothing on your body just because that's what you can afford. You know, you don't even like how it looks on you, and there's other things, but it's clothing, and I just want to be happy that I just have clothes, and there is a truth to that. We ought to be content. But he says, I want you to be satisfied. Right. Jesus said, up until now, John 16, 24, up until now you've asked me nothing. He said, ask the Father in my name that your joy may be full. Yeah. Ask that you may receive that your joy, not just your needs met. He said, I want your joy to be full. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, until we get our mind renewed to this abundance. Well, he's saying, I want to satisfy you. I want you to be in your vehicle, and I want you to drive that thing fully satisfied. I want your job to not be a drudgery. I want you to be satisfied when you go to work. Amen. When you put your clothes on, stand in front of the mirror, I don't want you to just be, oh God, I'm just glad I have stuff on. I hate the way it looks on me. There's another. I want you to look and say, man, I'm really enjoying what I'm wearing. I'm satisfied with this. Praise God. We need people reaching for abundance. Let me tell you why, ladies and gentlemen. God has put things on my heart that have still yet to come to fruition. that we have not yet done that are going to cost big dollars. I remember when he told me to start South Dayton, and it was just me, her, and him, and he was in her belly, so it was just two of us, when we first got the nod from God to do it, and then other people joined us as we got closer. But I remember even back then, he was putting things on my heart that we're just now walking to with buildings. Listen, when that building was built, the first day we had that building and that service in that new building over there, I said, get ready for the next one. Because God had already been talking to me about a bigger building like this years before we were even in that building. But when he showed me that, I said, my goodness, Lord, that's going to cost a lot of money. Well, I knew that God, the way he does things is he has his people fund things. Amen. The sinner doesn't walk down the street and give the church his checks. We're thankful when that happens. God expects his people to pay for it. So I knew this, that if he's going to put that in my heart, for that to come to fruition, he's going to have to prosper some people. Right. Well, we won't prosper if we're not pushing and going for abundance. Right. Hallelujah. There's such a blowback or a pushback about abundance, because the last thing the devil wants you to do is walk in abundance. Because listen, the Christian living in abundance represents their daddy well. Amen. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit in all areas, in your body, in your finances, in your mind, in your family, in your kids, in your job, in your businesses. He wants you to bear much fruit. Why? It just reflects well on him. Amen. There's something wrong with a child of the King of Kings who's struggling, who's sick all the time, who's tormented and broke down in their mind. There's something wrong with that. Why? That's not the flow that he's offered. That's not the provision that he's offered. If you saw Ivanka Trump on a side of the road looking like a hobo, and there's her park bench that she sleeps on, you're going to think, what in the world happened? Why isn't Daddy helping her out? Doesn't look well for president, does it? If his daughter's like that. I mean, it doesn't reflect well when Christians are broke down, when Christians are hurting, when Christians are the weak ones, when Christians are the depressed ones, when Christians are the unhappy ones, the groaners, the moaners, the grumblers, and the complainers. It does not look well on the Father. It doesn't represent well. But I'll tell you what the world will want. When they see a Christian who's walking in the abundance of God, walking in the joy of God, walking in the victory of God, they're going to say, my God, even when it hits the fan, and even when hell shows up at their front door, they still got a smile on their face. Nothing takes them out. They always look at the bright side. They always come out victorious. That will turn the sinner onto Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So don't get religious and start thinking, all this stuff, God's not interested in all this stuff. No, he is interested in you having stuff. I'll prove it to you in a second. Praise God. Genesis 17 and verse 1. Praise God. Amen. We're just going to get this out tonight. Genesis 17 and verse 1. We're going to stir you up with abundance. Praise God. He said, again, we're looking at it from his perspective. Genesis 17, 1. And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, I am. So God is declaring, I am something. Right? I am. That means he's saying, whatever I'm about to say, you don't have to wonder if I am that or not. I'm telling you that's who I am. And God's a man that he should not a man that he should lie, the Bible says. Amen. He said, I am the Almighty God. Now that word Almighty there, God there is Elohim. The word God Hebrew translated as Elohim. But the word Almighty translated in the Hebrew is the word Shaddai. Shaddai. He's saying literally in the Hebrew, I am, and it's, I believe, seven times in the Old Testament, he declares this to mankind. I am El Shaddai. Well, that word El Shaddai in the Hebrew literally means the all-sufficient one, or you could say it this way, the God. Now listen to this. He's saying, I am the God who's not just enough. I'm not the God who's just halfway. He said, I am the God who's more than enough. He's declaring to mankind right off the bat, the way that I am and the way that I roll in my flow is I'm more than enough. I'm not just, let's just make sure you just have enough clothes. I want more clothes. I'm not just make sure you just have enough food to skip. No, I want your cupboards full.
Praise God.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I want you driving the best. I want you wearing the best. I want you living in the best. I want you to represent me well, praise God. Now again, for those religious people out there, they're thinking, oh, he's gotten off into a ditch. You just wait until what I'm going to show you in a second. Yeah, it will once and for all cure your wrong thinking that God is not interested in you having things, that God is not interested in you being absolutely so well supplied that abundance is just coming out your ears. It'll cure you. So he said, I'm the El Shaddai. We saw him be the El Shaddai at the Red Sea, didn't we? We saw him be the El Shaddai when Joshua prayed, Lord, stop the sun, stop the moon. We need it, or we're going to get defeated. He was the God who was more than enough. We saw him be the God that was more than enough when the little boy brought 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he fed thousands. He was the God who was more than enough. Praise God. We saw that he was the God of more than enough when he turned the water into wine, praise God. We saw that he's the God that's more than enough when people would approach him for and need healing in their body and they got what they needed. He was the God that was more than enough. Well, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, he said, I'm El Shaddai. He said, I am the God who's more than enough. David said, my cup just barely gets to the top. No, my cup gets to the top, but let's not spill any over the edges, no. He said, my cup, what?
Runneth over.
Why? Because that's God's flow. Yes. All David was saying, my cup runneth over. David said, I agree with you, Lord.
Yeah.
That's all faith is agreeing with the word. He said, oh, yeah, Lord, you're the God that's more than enough. Yeah, my cup, it doesn't just get full. It doesn't just get half full. Though my cup runneth over. Ladies and gentlemen, you start saying that about your life. My cup runneth over. In what areas? Every area. My cup runneth over with abundance. I say this, I got a big old jug for abundant life to go in, and that jug overflows in my life. That's what I say. Zoe overflows in my life. You go to the cafe or you go to the Tim Hortons. I'll take a big large cup of Zoe. Don't stop. You can go ahead and just keep pouring that over the side and just let it overflow. That's what I'm saying for my life. Praise God. You have whatever you want, but that's what I'm gonna say. Well, go to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 9. Matthew 7 and verse 9. He said, I'm El Shaddai, but look at this. He said in Matthew 7 and verse 9, he says, what man is there among you, if his son asked for bread, would give him a stone? Or if his son asked for a fish, he'd give him a serpent, verse 10. Verse 11, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more, the God that's more than enough. How much more shall your, what's the next word?
Father,
which is in heaven, give good things to them and ask him. So we're trying to look at God's version of abundance. He's declared to the world, I am El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. But more than El Shaddai, you know what he is? He's Dad.
Amen.
He's Dad. And if you, especially people that have children, would realize that God is a much better, loving, caring, compassionate parent than you'll ever be, even as much as you love your children. God's love is perfect. There's no selfishness in it at all. It's just constant wanting to bless you. If you'd understand that and look at how you love your children. Think about how you love your children. Tell me, parents, what areas in your children's lives, do you want them to struggle? None. Oh, what areas do you want them to just be skimping by in? None. Then why do we think our dad, who says not only I'm your dad, I'm the El Shaddai dad, why do we expect, well, he just wants me to skip by and just, why? Because we've been brainwashed in the wrong way. I'm just going to be honest. You can call me whatever you want, but, you know, I believe, again, I'm sure every parent's biased, but I believe I have a respectful son who loves God and honors his parents. You know, he's still a kid. He does 6-year-old things at times, but for the most part, he's honorable and loves Jesus and is filled with the Holy Ghost and loves to come to church. Praise God, don't you? Amen. He'd wear that suit all day if I'd let him. I'm serious. I can't wait to get out of this thing into my sweatpants. He can't wait to get in it. But anyways, I say that to say this. I love going into his playroom and seeing so many toys that times he goes in there and has no idea what to play with. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that he snack time comes and he can't decide. Because where we got? We got Teddy Grahams, we got animal crackers, we got goldfish, we got pretzels, we got, and he can't decide. I'm glad. That makes me happy. Why? More than enough.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
I like that I can, I talk about the suit. This kid in his clothing, he is so particular about what he wears, isn't he? I mean, I've never seen it in a six-year-old. I mean, he's like a little fashionista. Hey, I mean, he's got to know what he wants to wear for school. I'm like, buddy, just put it on. He gets worked up about it. But I love going into his closet and opening up or rolling out, pulling out his dresser drawer and seeing multiple pairs of pants, multiple shirts, multiple things hanging on the hanger. I don't walk in and say, man, I wish he just had one shirt, one pair of pants, one pair of socks, one pair of underwear, and that's it. No, it does me good in my heart to see that my child is living in abundance in more than enough.
Amen.
How much more for our dad in heaven? And he said that there. How much more would he want to see his own kids walking in abundance? Praise God. Go with me to Job chapter 1. I have to hurry. Isn't that? I feel like that's what ministers always say in messages. We get ourselves in a pickle, and then we got to hurry towards the end. Job chapter 1 and verse 3. Now, we're showing you here, I'm going to give you an example of God showering with abundance, because again, your mind might tell you, I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around this abundance thing. Job chapter 1 and verse 1. Actually, go to verse 1. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And the man, now look how the Bible describes him. The man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil or shunned evil. Now let me ask you a question. Wouldn't that be a good testimony to have? That the Bible said, there's an upright man or woman of God. They reverence me, they have godly fear for me, they shun evil, they're upright, righteousness is their flow. Man, that's a good testimony to have. Yeah. Job was a good man, wasn't he? And it said in verse 2, and there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. Now verse 3, look at this. His substance, what is substance another word for? His stuff. His stuff. Was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, a very great household. Notice this. So that this man was the greatest. Now, he's talking in terms of stuff. He's not just saying, oh, he's a great man because he fears God and is upright. No, he was holy that way, but he was great in his substance. The greatest of all the men of the East. Now, if you can do this on your own, but just what was mentioned. He doesn't talk about how much land he has to put all these animals. Doesn't talk about investments in different things. He's just talking about what's here listed in today's terms makes Job a multi-millionaire in today's terms. And the Bible tells us he was the richest of all the men in the East. So he was wealthy, wasn't he? Okay, well, we don't have time to look at it, but we look at the rest of the story. We know that Job lost it, didn't he? But how did Job lose it? Did God take it away from Job? What do you mean he didn't? Job said the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Well, it's important that we understand that Job is one of the most misinterpreted books in the whole Bible. Job said that, absolutely. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. But have you ever said something that you felt with all your heart and were convicted of and found out later on that was wrong? I had a woman one time in Olean call me just in tears. She said, Pastor Mike, she said, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I said, why? And she told me about a tragedy she had in her life years ago. Like, I think it was almost 15, 20 years prior. She said, when that happened, she said, I cursed God. She said, I don't want anything to do with you, Lord. You did this to me. You caused this tragedy. You caused this devastation in my life. I don't want anything to do with you. And she carried that with her. And so then she got into a word church, our church in Olean, and I was preaching to her. And then she called me and she said, man, heaven sounds so wonderful for you, but I don't think I can ever get there because of what I said. And I said, well, let me ask you right now. I said, do you believe God did that to you? She said, no, I've seen that God did do that to me. I said, do you love God? She said, yes. I said, do you want to accept Jesus as your Savior? She said, yes. I said, that's all that matters. And I told her about Job. I said, Job one time accused God of doing all this stuff, but God wasn't in on it. The Bible clearly tells us in the next verses and chapters that Satan, well, that kind of goes along with what John 10 and verse 10 says. The thief comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. What happened in Job? A whole lot of stealing, killing, and destroying. Yeah. But anyways, the devil comes and takes from Job. Now, this is my point. The devil comes, takes from Job. Job is now at a place where he doesn't have anything. He's lost everything. Family, substance. He went from the greatest to a bottom feeder really fast. So here's what I want you to see. Let this sink into your head. If there's any time that God would demonstrate to mankind how he feels about what a person has, it's going to be in this situation. Because now Job has nothing, and we know he's holy. We know he's upright. We know he fears God. We know he shuns evil. So spiritually, he's doing well. His heart was right, but his doctrine was a little off. Go to Job 42 and verse 10. Job 42 and verse 10. If this doesn't cure your poverty mentality, nothing will. Because first of all, Job was not even a child of God like you are. That went over well. I said Job wasn't even a child of God like you are. What am I saying? You're in a better position with God than Job ever was. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Job even said, I don't have a redeemer to stand, to take up this gap. He said, we have a redeemer. Job didn't have that. Praise God. We have an inroad with the Father that Job could only have ever hoped for. But Job 42 verse 10 said, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave. Okay, now here we go. Job, when the Bible says the Lord gave, Job is in a position right now where he has nothing. Now, what did Job have before he lost everything? He had the richest, he had the number one spot on the Forbes richest men of the East list. Sure. Number one. Yeah. Richest, wealthiest person. So now he has nothing, and the Bible says the Lord's going to give back to Job. So I would think, this is just how my crazy brain works, that if we have a God who's not a God of abundance, if we have a God who's not a God of prosperity, if we have a God who's not interested in you having stuff, that God would restore only unto Job in a minimal fashion. That he would only, why would he want to give him back everything he had? Because that again would propel him to number one on the stuff list, on the rich list, wouldn't it? If God brought him back to his original standpoint, Job would then become again the richest man, the greatest man in all the East. Right. Well, why? So God has him in a position now. God's got him under his thumb. Because God's the one that's going to restore him. So if God's up in heaven saying, I'm against prosperity. Now remember, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So however he acts with Job is how he's going to want to act with you. Amen. I said however he acts with Job is how he's going to act with you. Because he's the same.
That's right.
He's the same. So God's got Job under his little thumb saying, oh, he doesn't need to be the richest ever again. Let's just give him back a quarter of what he had. Nope. Okay, you know what? He was really worked over by the devil. He deserves to have his stuff. I'm just going to give him back what he just had and then make him the richest man. Nope. God says, I'm going to give you double for your trouble. God says, the Lord gave Job... The Lord gave twice as much. What did he mean? He didn't just restore him to number one on the list. He put the gap between number one and number two. He doubled it. God is not against you having stuff in abundance. He's against abundance and stuff having you. And abundance and stuff didn't have Job. We already saw Job. He was a holy, upright, honest man. God's okay with those people prospering. Praise God. That's the kind of prosperity. Amen.
Amen.
Go with me to Matthew 14 and verse 22. I think God showered Job with abundance.
Yes. Amen.
He did. Got to think right. Matthew 14 and verse 22. Oh, let's see here. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and evening was come. He was there alone, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary, so they're out in a storm. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come onto the water." And he said, Jesus said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, notice this, he walked on water. Now, Peter did something and experienced something that he had never experienced before. He walked into something that he would have never, ever thought in his mind was possible. I mean, for a professional fisherman who lives on the water, makes his living on the water, he knows the laws of physics and gravity and water. You don't walk on water, you don't get out of the boat, you stay in the boat, especially when there's a storm. But he was able to walk into and experience something that he had never experienced before. Well, how did that first happen? Number one, he got a word from God on it. He got permission to do that.
Amen.
See, everything in the natural said, "You can't have this." Let's think about abundance. Your job might tell you, "You can't have abundance." Your Social Security or your pension check might tell you, "You can't have abundance." The family you grew up in might tell you, "You can't have abundance." The car you're driving might scream at you, "You can't live in abundance." The house you're living in that you need more of, you need a bigger house or whatever, is telling you. Your cupboards are yelling at you, right? The gas tank when you pull up is yelling at you. Your bills are yelling at you, telling you, you can't walk into abundance. You can't walk into prosperity. But see, Peter, walking into something that he had never experienced before, had nothing to do with what the natural circumstances were saying, but everything to do with what the Word was saying. Jesus said, "Come." That was Peter's permission to walk into something that he had never walked into before. You know, when I have that hunting lease that I take my Amish friends to in Ohio, they let me hunt on, I'm on a permission slip for that. And I have to carry that around, written permission. If anybody comes to me and says to me, "You can't be here," I pull that permission slip out, I say, "That's my name, and here's my ID. I can be here." When your bills start telling you, you can't prosper. When your debt that you have, student loans and whatever, credit cards, whatever, are yapping at you and telling you, you can't have abundance. When the car you're driving, when the family, when the friends, when the news, when thoughts come and tell you, you can't have abundance, you know what you need to do? You need to pull out your permission slip and say, "Actually, I have permission to walk in abundance. This is my permission slip." Amen. Hallelujah. This gives me the permission. When the waves said, "You can't do it." When the wind said, "You can't do it." When Peter's mind said, "You can't do it." When the disciples in the boat said, "You can't do it." Peter said, "Oh, here's my permission slip." He's standing about 10 feet away from me. He said, "I can." That's all that matters. Praise God. I remember that, you know, the home we're living in is such a, I'm not kidding you, you know, maybe to some other people, it would be small or nothing, you know, extravagant. It's not really extravagant, but to us, I love that place. You know, I pull in, there's not a time I pull, don't pull in that driveway where I'm just taken back and just, "Lord, thank you. I just can't believe what you've blessed me with." And I remember when God started dealing with me about that place, and God told me that this is our home. Well, I remember walking in there and getting that word in my heart that this was it. Well, then I remember what the price was. I looked online. I said, the price said, "This ain't your home." The bank said, "This ain't your home." My flesh said, "This isn't your home." Family members, the realtor, the lady that owned the house said, "This ain't your home." Yeah. They were all saying, "This isn't your home." But guess what? I had a permission slip that trumped all those things. But see, this is what I want you to see now. Because it doesn't just start and stop with the permission. Because even though Jesus gave Peter the permission, he still had to step out of the boat. Now, here's what I want to help you. This came up in my heart last night. I preached about the same message in Olean last night. God told me that the house was mine. But then when he told me that, I said, Lord, I don't have that money. The banks have told me no. There's no way I'm going to be able to get into a house like this. Well, the Word gave me permission that I could have it. The Word will give you permission, but the Spirit will give you direction. The Word gives permission, the Spirit gives the direction. That's why it pays to be led by the Holy Ghost. Because God might tell you, hey, you know, I got a better car for you, I got a better job for you. Oh, okay, how? Well, the Spirit will guide you, direct you what to do. The Word gives you permission, the Spirit will give you direction. And the Spirit gave me direction, told me who to contact, told me what to do, told me what to say, told me what to say to the realtor, told me what to say to the owner. All different things. The Lord laid this out. Well, I had no idea how I was going to get into that home. The Lord told me exact price to ask for that she would take on it. He gave me the direction. So the Word gives permission. The Spirit gives you direction. And see, here's the thing that you have to understand. And we'll close with this. If you're going to walk into abundance, if you're going to walk into more, you're going to have to understand that the devil and circumstances and people are going to fight you every step of the way. There's going to be a pushback of you getting into more. Paul said this. He said, there's a great door and effectual open to me. I think tonight I just presented to you, there's a great door and effectual. A great door of what? A doorway that on the door, there's a big sign that says abundance on the inside. Well, at the doorway, Paul said, there's a great door and effectual, but at the door there's many adversaries that are going to try to push you out. Now here's what you have to understand if you're going to walk into abundance. Do you think that it was the easiest thing in the world on Peter's flesh and mind to get out of that boat? No. Absolutely not. What do you think his mind was saying as he's going like this? What do you think his flesh is saying as he's actually, his toes hit that water? Get back in the boat. This is crazy. And when the Lord told me about, because that house represents abundance. Yeah. It meets all my needs. My kids love it. It represents full abundance. When the Lord told me I could have that, okay, great. But now, it doesn't just fall in my lap. I got to step out of the boat. Yeah. That's why you got to get this on the inside of you, because when you get the Word in you, it'll cause you to reach. And you're going to, abundance is going to take a reach. Abundance is going to take a press to get to. Amen. People are going to say no. The world's going to say no. Your mind's going to say no. But you got to reach for it. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh. I mean, I got nervous about it. I mean, I remember I was driving here getting ready to make the transaction for the old sanctuary. In my mind, I mean, I just was in cold chills and in fear thinking about, how am I going to do this? How's this going to happen? I already told the realtor one thing. I didn't have the money and all these things. And just fearful about it. Well, that was the devil. That was my thoughts. That was circumstances trying to push back. But you know what? I just kept hanging on to that Word. I had my mind renewed so much that, you know what? I remember going there one time when she wasn't home. I was by myself. Pulling in the driveway, I said, Lord, you want this for me. You wouldn't have told me that I could have it. Not only that if you didn't know I would enjoy it, but that you would enjoy me in it. Yeah, I loved when it was Caleb's birthday 2 years ago. On his birthday, his grandparents came up and they had bought him a really nice bike. I mean, a real nice bike. And they put it in the barn and we had a sliding door. And we, buddy, we have to go show you something. And he opened that up and there's this brand new shiny red bike. I loved knowing that he would enjoy that. The Father loves, I knew he'd enjoy me in that house. I said, I'm going to press for that house. I'm not going to let doubt keep me out. I'm not going to let people keep me out. I'm not going to let a calculator keep me out. I'm not going to let a checkbook keep me out. I'm not going to let a price on the internet keep me out. If I have permission, I'm pressing for it. And ladies and gentlemen, he told you, whatever that means for your life, he told you abundance, you have permission to walk in abundance in all areas of your life. Get out of the boat and reach for it. How are you going to do that? By faith. Yeah. That's why we're teaching faith on Sunday mornings. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, were you blessed tonight?
Amen.
Amen. He's the God of abundance. So let's be children of abundance. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We glorify you and magnify you. Oh, how we love you, Lord. You are so good to us. We praise your holy name. We thank you for the abundant life. And Father, if we're not living in the abundant life right now, we're not walking out of here in condemnation. We're not going to walk out of here in guilt, but we're going to walk out of here with hope that we now, there's been certain properties before with heads bowed and eyes closed, certain properties before that I've been denied access to, but I knew it would be good hunting. And I drive away upset, and I drive away a little bummed out. But then the owner maybe has a change of mind or something different comes up, and the owner says, yeah, you can now have permission to do that. Well, then it just opens up a whole new world in hunting for me. Well, tonight, if you've been denied so far, you didn't know you had permission to abundance, and you've been living in lack and living in poverty, now you now have a permission slip that says you can go and walk on the land of abundance as much as you want to. Praise God. So don't walk out of here discouraged. Walk out of here encouraged. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We magnify you and praise you. We bless you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. The greatest part of abundant life is eternal life. That's the best part of abundance is eternal life. And I don't know everybody in here, and I don't know everybody who's listening now or in the future. But everybody ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? Well, my heart stopped beating. And I have no more pulse, where would I go? When I ask myself that question, I know I'm going straight to heaven to be with God in heaven, enjoy the streets of gold, my God. If anything tells us about how much he's a God of abundance, it's the fact that he paves the streets with gold. My goodness. But if you're here, you can say, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Well, man, that's a tormenting thought, especially when God made it free. It's not about church attendance. It's not about how much money you've given. It's not about whether your good deeds outweighed your bad deeds. It's what you do with Jesus. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you can say, Pastor, I don't know that I'd go to heaven, but man, I sure would like to know I'm going to heaven. And you can say, I do believe in Jesus. I believe he was real, and I believe he died and rose again. Well, that's half of it. The next half is accepting him and receiving him in your heart. It's not enough just to believe that there was Jesus. The devil believes there was Jesus, but the devil's never received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here tonight and you can say, Pastor, I do believe in the Lord. I want to accept Jesus in my heart. Nobody's looking around. We won't embarrass you or have you come forward or have you stand up or have you say anything on your own. But if you want to receive Jesus tonight for once and for all and know that you're going to heaven, with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you raise your hand in the air and then I'll have you put it right back down? Say, how do I know I need to raise my hand? Your heart's telling you. Your heart's saying, don't miss this opportunity. Don't miss your day of visitation with God. Is there anybody at all that wants to receive the Lord? Just put your hand high in the air and put it right back down. Anybody at all before I close? Father, I don't see any hands. Is there any hands before we close? Any hands? Anybody want to receive the Lord? Just put your hand up high and put it right back down. Anybody? Father, I don't see any hands. So I trust that we're all born again. But by chance, if somebody's here and they just were shy, or somebody's listening by live stream or in the archives that I'm not aware of, I pray they would not pass from this life until they've made Jesus their Lord. It's not about the raising of the hand. It's about believing and the confessing with the mouth. So, Father, I thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for salvation. And I thank you that you've made it easy. So if you should have raised your hand, or if you're listening and you want to get in on this, just cry out to the Lord in a private moment. Say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. Come into my heart. And then thank him for saving you. Then get hooked up in a good Bible-teaching church where you can learn about all his promises. Let's just wait on him for a second. Let's worship him. Just to make sure, we've already received a visitation from him tonight, but let's make sure there's nothing else that he wants to do. He is the God that's more than enough. He is the God. It would be just like him to do more than just the preaching and teaching. We're thankful for that. Anything at all. Father, we bless you and magnify you. We bless you and magnify you. Anything, we don't want to put on a show, Father, but if there's something you want done or said, we want to be obedient. Anything else you want to do, Father, we worship you tonight. We honor you. And we magnify you. We praise you and glorify you. We praise you and glorify you. And magnify you. We praise you and magnify you. Praise you and magnify you. We glorify you. We bless you. Anything at all, Father. Father, I don't have anything in my heart, so we thank you for what we did receive here tonight. We praise you. We thank you for this meal that you prepared for us, Father. We walk out of here stuffed, hallelujah, ready to walk into the land of abundance. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for being here. Don't forget, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, you are dismissed.